Welcome to episode 286 of the Witty and Gritty podcast. We're Brooke
and Farron.
And I didn't have to say hosts.
Hostess. That's the stuff.
Yes. Isn't it great? If you have been following along with the order of these episodes, you just finished our 40-day prayer challenge. Hooray for you.
Yes, and we're hoping that you're keeping up with it. And Maybe if you got something out of it, would you do us a favor and share it with the people you love?
Yes, the good news, whether you fall off the prayer daily wagon or not, you can always go back and listen to episodes 254 all the way through 285. I think that's how that ended. So we'll link that. But if you're ever in a prayer slump, the 40-day prayer challenge is specific to Bible verses about prayer, so that might get you the little boost you need to get it back going.
Yeah, if you want to improve your prayer life, maybe the first thing you need to pray about is prayer. So there you go. We got you covered.
Love it, love it, love it. So how this falls, it is our Easter episode.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Yay, woohoo! He has risen, tomb is empty. I always like it when the kids get the Easter eggs and they open it and there's nothing in there. And they're like, oh. And then we're like, the tomb is empty, yay! It's fine. Anyway, so today's verse, we're going to read, pray, talk, tell through Matthew 28, 5 through 8. And when we left off in our Advent mini-series, we had an angel speaking to a Mary. And this episode, we've got an angel speaking to a Mary. Not to say Mary, but it's fine.
Look what we did there. So witty and clever.
Yes, it is a longer passage, so we're just going to go ahead and read it in the NLT. Mm-hmm. And Farron, do you want me to read it or do you want to read it?
You know what? How about you go for it?
All right. Matthew 28, 5 through 8 in the NLT. Then the angel spoke to the woman. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Remember what I've told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message.
So I know we're supposed to be focusing about the scripture.
Uh-huh.
I picture people having to run in all those robes and layers, and that would just be difficult.
Yes. See, guys, this is why I don't wear dresses, because what if I need to sprint? What if the angel of the Lord comes and talks to me, and then I gotta take off?
This is why leggings are, in fact, pants.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
You gotta always be ready. We invented athleisure. We're gonna say it again.
Do you remember the flare pants?
I do.
Those were also hard to, like, shuffle in, because they're catching each other. Anywho.
You know what, Farron?
What?
Snap pants are back. Remember those from middle school?
One?
And you went, and your pants were like, but you got to wear shorts underneath. Don't be a crazy person. So they're back. And when I see them in a store, I'm just going to have to buy me and Morgan a his and hers matching. I'm going to be like, look, Morgan.
I've done something to fix the problem of how long it took to flip in. Re-snap.
I know.
All the
it
snaps.
Looked really cool, but then you're like, oh man, I gotta snap these pants back. Click, click, click.
It's
like
you got off one.
Yes.
Dang,
you know what? The adult equivalent is a duvet cover with buttons at the bottom. I cannot stand it. I am waiting to get a comforter so I do not have to deal with the duvet cover button situation anymore.
All right.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Back to the angels and the women.
Right. Easter.
Anyway.
It's empty. So, we're going to go through the read, pray, talk, tell method.
Yes.
And the first thing we want you to do is read.
Yes. So, we've read through the scriptures. There's a lot of emotions in here. Have you ever been scared and excited at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have an example off the top of your head?
Public speaking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Elaborate on that, because I would say that's a lot of people. They're like, don't get me on the stage.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Never.
And I listen to a lot of interviews with, like, successful people. And whether they're public speakers, rock stars, what have you, they'll still say they get a little bit of that butterfly feeling still.
The game day jitters.
Yeah, maybe it's not as debilitating or, you know, a big hurdle to jump over, but they still get it. But, yeah, I have had opportunities in my side job to speak to large groups of people, and I'm trying to convince them of something, and so that's always got a little bit of nerve-wracking quality to it. But yeah, I'm excited to also have that opportunity to share what I've learned and just the potential of the trickle-down effect of them being able to help their students. But excited, mostly excited. and I don't really have a choice.
So we got to do it anyway.
That's where it always ends up. It's like, dude, you can't, there's no backing out. Yeah. Ready, go.
And it's like bungee jumping or zip lining off of a crazy place.
Yeah, someone pushing you off the diving board.
Yeah. You get out there, you. Oh.
I do have another example, too. Just, you know, we speak to others, whether we're in a leadership role or a parent in the household. I believe everybody's a leader to some degree. And so in coaching, you know, when you make it to the championship game, there's always that pressure is a privilege.
Yes.
And so it's like all of a sudden we're at the championship game and the kids are just nervous, but, you know, rightfully so. They just care about it so much and want it to go in their favor. But we talk a lot about you can be nervous and excited at the same time. And
yes,
again, that idea that pressure is a privilege. So looking at the scripture, man, what a privilege that the Marys
yes,
were the ones that got to hear the good news first and then be the deliverers of that good news.
Yeah. If you want to deep dive a little more into reading, try reading this from all of the Gospels and see kind of how they aligned, because John's take on the next few verses are very funny to me, where he's like, but I beat everyone else there.
Yeah.
I'm super fast, by the way. I just needed to go down in history that I beat everybody.
Doesn't he say too, like, the one Jesus loved.
Yes.
So on top of that,
I need everyone to know that I know Jesus doesn't have favorites, but I'm just going to go ahead and write that in the scripture. Yeah. The one that he loved. And he loved everyone, but I'm going to make sure I write that about me. Oh, so reading it from the different points of view is also a fun way to read when you're doing your scripture. Read, pray, talk, tell.
Absolutely. So go back and read the full context and story. And I like what you pointed out too. As you're reading, you might even like circle all the different emotion words.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That takes us to pray.
Read, pray.
Oh man, I'm still always waiting for the other two.
Talk, tell. I do like how God is in a habit of showing us that he can do anything. Or just, I mean, I always go back to the Moses Red Sea example. My brain could not even think, oh wait, we're just going to move the water out of the way. We're not move the humans, things that usually move out of the way. We're just, we're going to actually move the water out of the way. So instead of, you know, some other way the miracle happened, Jesus is just like, nah, I'm going to waltz out of here. It's going to be fine.
I like that example. And it's not that he just raised from the dead. That's awesome. But 3 days later, because I believe back in the day that they didn't decide someone was truly dead unless they had appeared to be dead for 3 days.
Just mostly dead.
So that way there would be no, you know, discrepancy, even though there's still people that argue lots of different things. But, you know, given the time and culture, he was medically diagnosed as dead.
Definitely dead.
He was dead, dead. Yeah.
Yes. I like the prayer of praying the big impossible things. There's been times in my life where there is a big want, or like it's a holy want. It's someone coming through a hard time, or like a prodigal kid returning. Those are holy things to ask for. God wants his children to be found and be sanctified and on the right track and making good choices. So praying for the sanctification of others is on par with God's desires. So there's been times that I've prayed, it sounded crazy, like there is no way that only an act of God is going to deliver this situation, and that's it, period. There's nothing I can do. I've either done all the things or I've helped in the way that I could, and there's nothing else I can do.
Yeah, I like that a lot. The prayer angle I took from the scripture is to not let fear keep you from seeking what God's asked you to do.
Ooh, yeah.
So the angel tells them, don't be afraid and know what you're looking for. Here's the answer. Now go tell everybody. So in that instance, they could have like passed out. I picture like the goats when they get scared.
I'm sure there were goats around too, probably, and they're all
just
like
played.
Oh, Farron, are you fight, flight, or freeze? What are you?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe an angel's going to appear to you, and we'll just find out.
There is always a brief pause. There's always a brief pause, and then it is either a longer pause, which leads into the second part of the prayer, is like then being obedient in the directives. So either I, you know, fight back and I'm like, no, I didn't hear him right. He surely God didn't mean that. Or there's like the avoidance pause.
Oh, yeah.
Or there's like keeping myself busy.
Oh, man.
So that might be the flight.
I remember, I guess it was last semester's Bible study. We were praying something very specific for you in a situation. And you were like, God's going to need to give me like the clearest sign ever. And in walks the exact person you needed to talk to. And you're like, oh, man.
And I had the opportunity to fly, and I didn't.
I think that's a good point to bring up here. I'm sorry, if I think my Lord and Savior is dead, and then this angel, boo, but don't be afraid. This is what happened. All the emotions I'm feeling. Oh, wait, now I need to go, I need to act right now and go do the thing.
Yeah, and at any point did they think that people were going to think they were crazy? Like, back to your point about right. two feelings. They were so excited mm-hmm. that they had to go then and tell everybody with all the conviction, you know, what they had seen and witnessed and yeah. the angel had said.
Man, that's like Noah building an ark when it's never rained.
Yeah.
I like that. So even if it's an impossible prayer you're praying, or if you've been given an impossibly seeming kind of directive, just know God's alongside you, so he's going to make the way, not you. Yeah. Not your human self.
You don't need to put your confidence in yourself.
Exactly.
Let's put it in God instead.
Humble yourself.
There you go.
Read, pray, talk.
Let's talk about it.
How would you have felt, Farron, if you were one of the Marys in the situation, or other women? How would you have felt in this situation, you personally?
Besides claustrophobic and all the robe layers. Here's how I would like to think I'd feel.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh yeah, he did tell us this. Oh yeah, why? This isn't surprising because I witnessed him do all the million things and mm-hmm. this is just a million and one.
Of course he would. Yeah.
Yeah, an immediate sense of like hope restored.
Classic Jesus.
Yeah, he's always doing those things.
He's doing that sort of thing.
Oh, yes. Won't he do it? So, anywho, I'd like to think that I'd just, you know, be in the positive hope, confidence,
yeah.
yes, team Jesus again.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
And I guess it also depends on maybe the season you're in. Do you need a lot of convincing? Maybe you feel like a situation is so far gone that when you get that little glimmer of you're going in the right step, are you kind of skeptical or cynical? Like, am I?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this just another? And I guess I would say, what thoughts are we taking captive, and is the devil just trying to throw a bunch of stuff at you and see if it sticks to try to discourage you? Yeah. Or, hey, no, like God's giving you a clear sign. Let's go.
Yeah, to that point, they could have just shown up and seen the stone rolled away in the empty tomb and had to deduce that he'd risen. But how gracious of God to have a messenger there.
Yes, it's so nice. It's kind of like whenever Jesus has a parable and then the crowd leaves or starts doing something else and the disciples are like, okay, Jesus, what? I'm writing this down because I don't get it and I need you to explain to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I like that. I'm just going to go ahead and send an angel just so you know that there's not a doubt. Also, in one of our, we did a Jen Wilkin Abide study not too long ago. And I remember Jen Wilkin talking about how witnesses mattered and having more eyes on a scene validated that, yes, this did happen. And that was the record of truth. There were witnesses. So I like how there were multiple people here who saw an angel and heard this, and then they followed the directive. And it's written, recorded. The Bible is a historical document that is true and right.
Yeah. So what a great conversation to have, and then applying it to your situation. My angle on this was to talk your fears out with someone. I don't know if anyone's experienced this, but sometimes when you start to say it out loud, you realize,
yes.
I don't want to discredit it by saying irrational or silly, mm-hmm. because the fears I know from experience feel very, very real and very, very big. But I do think Satan wants you to keep it to yourself.
Yes.
And he'll whisper things like, but if you tell someone, they're going to think you're dumb or weird. But
yeah.
sometimes voicing those fears and talking them out with someone, they don't even have to respond. Just mm-hmm. saying it out loud, you're like, wait a second.
Did I just hear me?
Okay, it's like when you're little and you see the creepy shadow in your room and
yes.
you're like, absolutely has to be a monster. And either your
For
parents
sure.
come in or you flick on a light and you're like, oh, it's just my dirty clothes basket.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mama's
you're like,
saying you should pick
wow.
up your dirty clothes.
Yeah, and you're like, I can't believe I had it worked up in my mind.
Yeah.
That it was this beast.
And that's why you bring stuff to the light. What a great
illustration
there, Farron. When you put it in the light, when you vocalize it to wise counsel or to God in a safe, holy space, then there you go. It's not so scary in the light. And you also have someone with you.
Exactly.
Boom. Read, pray, talk, tell.
Tell me about it, Brooke.
Okay, so some basics of Easter is this little passage we've read right here. The whole reason Jesus came down was so that he could save us from our sins. And this was the once and for all final way to do it. Nana, nana, boo, boo, stick your head in doo-doo, devil.
Yeah, in your face.
And it's not, I mean, that's the other difference between our faith and other religions is our dude's alive, so he's alive and living, miracles all on the daily. So, more proof, if you needed proof, you're a combative type.
Absolutely. So, along those same lines, it's like, where do you place your hope?
Yeah.
So fear and hope, to me, are opposites in a sense. And so, I think that's, I remember in times where I've really battled anxiety or depression, I just would look at other people that seem to have it figured out. And like this glow, and like they were not just going through the motions, but actually living their lives. And I could different times in reflection be like, they just seemed to have hope and optimism, and they didn't have guarantees, and they still had bad things happen to them, but they got up and chose to have a positive, hopeful outlook on life. And so one way that you can encourage those around you, especially this Easter season, is bringing up where our hope is found.
Yes.
As Christians, you know, we're supposed to be identified by the way we live our lives. And so hopefully you're living with life with this root in hope and the hope of Jesus. And, you know, him dying and rising again is where we get a lot of our hope from.
Yeah.
So the opposite of fear, I would say, is hope. And
yeah.
And if you follow through with that hope and it works out, that builds your faith and confidence in God. And you, it's just, I guess, important to do this in times where things are seem to be going okay. We talk about that all the time in on this podcast. You got to prepare for the famine during the feast.
Mm-hmm.
And so just reflecting on times God's seen you through it, like the Red Sea example, that's great. But also reminding ourselves this Easter season that our hope is found in Jesus.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, committing to feeling that, thinking that constantly on a consistent, regular basis, that's going to start changing your worldview. It's going to become a biblical worldview full of hope. So even when whatever comes up against you again, now you've developed that habit of having that lens of hope. So there's a time limit. There's a time limit on all these negative things that are happening in the world. That's all going to end one day, and everything's going to work together for God's good. Everything. Even all the bad, ugly, yucky stuff. That is all going to work for his glory. And we don't have to worry about all the moving parts. Hooray!
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
We're just going to take that off your plate.
How nice.
So that wraps up episode 286 of the Witty and Gritty podcast, our Easter episode. Tune in next week for a brand new mini-series.
So exciting! And hey, in the meantime, make sure that you are following us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't get enough from us on this weekly podcast episode, there's more. You're missing out.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. So check us out there, and we'd really appreciate the follow and join the conversation. We love getting direct messages, prayer requests, all the things.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.